Let's move on to regular calendar, item 215.
Apply for and accept a grant in the amount of $25,000 from the Oregon Department of Transportation and appropriate $22,000 for reimbursement for the fiscal year 2015 motor officer training program.
Great. And why don't you go ahead and read 216 while you're at it, please.
216, apply for and accept a grant in the amount of $37,500 from the Oregon Department of Transportation and appropriate $30,000 for overtime reimbursement for the fiscal year 2015 Multnomah County Dewey Intensive Supervision Program.
Great. Sergeant Volpel. Officer Balzer, welcome.
Good morning, sir. My name is Robert Volpel. I'm a police sergeant, traffic division. We've got a grant from the state of Oregon, ODOT, for motorcycle training. I'm a motorcycle training sergeant, and this is Officer Balzer. He's our lead instructor for the motorcycle training division. And we have currently have 28 motorcycle operators in Portland, and part of this grant is training outside agencies as well. So it's a regional training, and it's specifically for scenario-based training, simulations, things like that, where you're training in real-world situations other than riding the motorcycle, but actually riding the motorcycle and then making decisions on use of force. So it falls in very, very well with the Department of Justice agreement, and it also falls in with the chief's plan to incorporate other agencies in with our own agency. And it's really vital that we have this just so we can have that extra cushion, so when we have large scale events, motorcades, things of that nature, we actually rely upon our outside agency partners to work the events.
So will this training effort involve our officers and other agencies like State Police and Beaverton and so on? Or
State Police doesn't currently have motor operators. I just talked to a lieutenant yesterday, or not yesterday, this last week, that they will be getting their motor unit back once they get up to better staffing. But Beaverton, we work with Beaverton, Hillsborough, Washington County, Clackamas County. Last motorcade training we had in last October, we had 12 agencies and 75 motor operators there.
Mm. Okay, so great.
We try to do this on a regular basis, and this is just a way we can put real world training into our curriculum.
Can I ask you a technical question?
Absolutely.
My daughter goes to college in Los Angeles, and California law allows motorcycles to go between cars on the highway.
Not police motorcycles, but everybody else, right?
I don't know.
They do. In our position is that's very problematic.
Yeah. Well, I can say as a visitor to Los Angeles, it's very problematic too, because there's very little spacing, and motorcycles are at a high speed going down. Is that allowed in Oregon?
It is not. The speeds are
maybe news to some of our friends from California visiting in a motorcycle.
It is not legal in Oregon. There's a number of I think there's four on the items this year, trying to get that some legalization of that.
Why is that allowed, by the way? It just seems so counterintuitive to create another hazard like that.
That's our opinion, too. It's, and maybe Officer Balzer can speak to this a little more, but it's more mass down there. There's more traffic control or traffic congestion down there. A lot of people ride the two-wheel vehicles so that they can do that and get to work and get places quicker. I don't see the value in it.
I think I could answer Commissioner Fish's question in a different way, which is, having accidentally been in the same hearing room as a hearing on motorcycle helmets being required in the state of Oregon, I can tell you that what drives interest in this issue from some is not a rational calculation like the one you just articulated, but an emotional idea of riding your motorcycle on the open road, which might happen to include all of us in it. It's that wind in your hair, 65-mile-an-hour experience that some folks are dreaming of, even if the rest of us are in their way.
I continually tell myself I have the best job in the world.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Other questions for our team? Okay, then let's take anyone else want to speak on this item? Let's take a roll call on 215.
Fish?
Aye. Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. And then the other grant, 216, is for DWI training.
It's DWI, DUI Intensive Supervision Program, and Officer Balzer will address this.
Good morning, Your Honor. My name's Bill Balzer, and I do manage that program for the Police Bureau. It's in partnership with DISP, and I have John Dieter here. He's the director of the program. We work together with this. We have for several years now. This is just an addition to it for this year's grant. It's essentially, and John, go ahead and jump in if I miss something, but it's a DUI treatment court program for multiple DUI offenders. What our goal and role is on it is that is to have these recidivism rates go down for continually offending DUI drivers. And it's getting them into a program to see why they're doing this. So one, so they don't continue doing it and breaking the law. But the main thing is so that they don't endanger or hurt themselves or someone else in the community. And it's a voluntary program that all these clients go into. It's not forced upon them. They pay it themselves. Our role in it is working with the DISP program is that we then go do warrants and home visits. In the past, we've mainly done home visits or warrants. We've changed now, and we're seeing a benefit, is home visits. And the benefit to this is we get a Portland police officer that goes to someone's house and knocks on a door, and instead of arresting him, we're going in and saying, how are things going for you? How's this program working? What do you need? What's working? What isn't working? And then we go to weekly meetings with the staff, with the judges, the treatment providers, the caseworkers, and we can work together. Sometimes they'll tell us stuff, the clients will, that they're not telling them, and we can work together. And the goal is to make the whole program more successful.
That's great. Anything to add to that?
Good description? No, I think Officer Balzer got it right. We're a DUI treatment court. We're forcing people to have 3 years of intensive supervision and exposure to treatment. It's been working really well.
That's great. Great. Thank you. Any questions? Thank you all very much. Anyone else want to speak on this item? Then we'll take a roll call on that ordinance as well.
Fritz?
Thank you for your work. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
A couple of years ago, I picked up a book called When Brute Force Fails, How to Have Less Crime and Less Punishment by a guy named Mark Kleiman. And one of the things he pounds home is that intensive supervision and treatment as an alternative to an emphasis on longer terms of incarceration are the way to go. So I really appreciate your description of what you're doing. Thank you. Aye.
Hales.
Yeah, I hope to see more of this kind of effort under the whole Justice Reinvestment Act idea, that we ought to be doing just that, investing in these kinds of intensive supervision efforts for a number of kinds of offenses where it's sort of a compulsive behavior problem on the part of the offender. And, you know, putting them in jail doesn't seem to accomplish very much other than getting them off the streets for a little while. So I really like what you're doing and very happy to have this before us today. Thank you for your work. Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.